And so praying in faith means, what am I praying for? I'm going to live it. I'm going to believe that it's already there. I'm praying for a good marriage. Then act like it. Yeah, but my... No. Act like it. Be happy. Yeah, but I can't be if. No. If you're praying for happiness, then be happy. Why? Well, Mark 11 tells us that. Let's read what it says. Go. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. How many times have you prayed for something, and when God didn't seem to answer, you gave up? Well, yesterday, Pastor Wayne began exploring with us some of the reasons we don't see our prayers answered. Today, we'll begin to understand the importance of seeing things the way God sees them. Here is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of a message entitled, Confidence Against the Wind.
Prayer is to communicate with God, to converse with God, not just to throw up flares, emergency flares, not to throw up desperation prayers, like in football, a Hail Mary pass. If that's the only time we pray, it's no prayer at all. Prayer is communication. The lifestyle is a constant. Let's read the scripture here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Would you read it with me out loud? Go. Rejoice always. Pray without... What was that? Pray without... Remember that. Continue. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. And you know, the Lord might not be saying, for everything, give thanks, but He is saying, in everything, remain thankful. Because you have no idea what the will of God is. In everything, give thanks. Well, I don't understand it. Then be thankful still. Yeah, but it hurt. Mm-hmm. But in it, be thankful, because God's still in control. But here's what I'd like you to take a look at. It's the words where it says, pray without ceasing. Did you know that's actually a medical word? I'm going to take you into one of my Greek classes. Are you ready? All right. It's a word called adialeptos. Adialeptos means it's a medical word for like when you're coughing. If you're coughing once every 20 minutes, you have a moderate cough. But what if you squeeze that interval down and you're now coughing every 30 seconds? Then you cough again. It's not moderate anymore. It's a bad cough. Now let's squeeze it a little more and that every 10 seconds you're coughing. 10 seconds. Now the doctor will say, you are always coughing, or you are coughing without ceasing, or you are adialeptos coughing. That's the word that they use, pray without ceasing. What he's saying is take the intervals of your prayer and squeeze it so that the intervals are really short before you talk to God again. Talk to God about everything, in everything, give thanks, be giving thanks in everything, so that there's a constant lifestyle of prayer, not just a panic button, because that's a weird relationship. Nobody wants to live in that kind of relationship. How is yours? If the only time God hears my voice is before a meal, just real quick, and then when something goes wrong, in desperation and panic, it's like you will never get to know the heart of God. You'll never get to know God. But yet we call it prayer. It's not. It could be complaining. It could be rote prayer. It could be panic. But it is not conversation. So base one is make your prayer a lifestyle, not panic. And now you're starting to get to know the heart of God. And now He gets to know you. Isn't it easier to give things and favors and hang out and give grace to people you know personally? If you don't know them, it's like, oh, I'd like to be nice, but I don't know you that well. Well, you want to know God really well because He has the kingdom that He'd want to give to you. But one of the ground rules of prayer is, do I know you? Well, prayer is the avenue through which that happens. So the first thing is it a lifestyle? The second thing, and I'm just going to put here a heart, that when you pray, God always checks your heart. Always. If there's unresolved sin in there, In fact, the Bible says this in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What? Yeah, there's a reason God doesn't hear my prayer, is if I have unresolved sin, if I have bitterness in my heart against you and you and you, and I don't like you, and I don't think this is right, and I don't want to hang around you, and you know, I think you're bad, stupid, you did this and that, I'm not forgiving you. God says, man, I can't hear you. James chapter 1 says it pretty well. He says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you spend it on your own pleasures. Yeah, James 1 tells it right out front. In fact, in the King James, it says, you ask and you don't receive because you're not praying aright. Really, we have to pray aright? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. There are ground rules to prayer, and nobody's ever told me that. I just put my stuff in handwriting to God on a 3x5 card and expect him to give me an A+. The Lord said, no, that's going to be filed under horse manure. What? How terrible. No. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He wrote it all out. And so he says, would you take a look at this? Because this is your life. This is your guidebook here, the Bible. It's not just some historical thing. In fact, he says in Mark 11, 25, read it with me, would you? It's going to come up. Go. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them. God is saying your prayers become far more, there's more attention given when there's a clear heart. Ah, I didn't know that. Did you know there was a missionary to China? His name was Hudson Taylor. When he'd greet you in the morning, he would shake your hand and he'd say, have you repented yet today? The reason he said that is because he knew that clear hearts would get God's answers. And we can't go around regarding iniquity in our heart and expect God to hear us. And he says, no. In fact, think about it this way. The Pharisees had the right chops. They wore the right clothes. They had $500 sneakers and leather pants and jackets, $1,500. I mean, they had all of the right words. They were cool. They were trendy. And they had everything down pat. But the Lord says to the people, you can do what they say, but don't do what they do. Well, we do all of these things. We keep the Sabbath. We do this and that. And the Lord said, no, you err because you know not the scriptures. What do you mean? See, a lot of times we err because we know not the scriptures when God lays it out. In fact, he said to the Pharisees, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts, base two, second base, your hearts are gone. Your hearts are far from me. So if you think about it, there weren't many prayers that God answered of the Pharisees. There was no miracles that the Pharisees had done, not even one. Read the Bible, zero. You think there's nothing that takes place with the Pharisees, though they were super religious, knew the Word of God, but they didn't really know the heart of the Word of God. And so they had no answered prayers. In fact, he says it in this way in 1 John 3. He says, beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we what? Confidence towards God. And we can have confidence in what? That whatever we ask, we receive from him. Why? Because we do his commandments, or we keep his commandments, and we do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. You want to rebuild your confidence, make sure your heart is clear. That's why repentance is so important. It clears our hearts. Why? Because I want us to have home run prayers. Otherwise, we can pray and pray and pray, and it's like our prayers hit a brass ceiling and it comes back down. God is saying, let me tell you how to pray. First of all, you got to have a clear heart. I remember watching a movie once of the mafia. And it was like this guy was praying. He crossed his heart and he was praying. And it was like this, like, you know, Lord, we're going to gun down the Corleone family tomorrow so that we can have control of this area of New York. And God, help us to not get killed. Lord, that's what we pray in Jesus' name. And I thought, you're crazy, dude. But I wonder how many times we do stuff like that. We have hearts that are bad, and we expect God to give me an A+ on my assignment. And God is saying, you err because you know not the scriptures. There's a story of this guy, Black Bart, who was a Mexican outlaw. He just kills everybody. And there was a big old war right at the end. And bang, 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 they're shooting each other up. And then he gets riddled with 5-6 holes. And he's finally on the ground. And the pastor, the padre, comes running out of the church. And he says, amigo, do you want to go to heaven? And Black Bart says, yes, I want to go to heaven. The padre says, then have you forgiven everybody, all your enemies? Have you forgiven all your enemies? And he smiled and he says, I have no more enemies. I have killed them all. You can't do that. But sometimes we think we can. The Lord said, no, you got to have a pure heart. So if we really want to hit home run prayers, you got to make prayer a lifestyle. And the second thing is, it's got to have it. You've got to come from a pure heart. Can you say amen to all of that? That was a little weak. Try it again. Can you say amen to that? Oh, good. Okay. Just well, now we're just running the bases here. That's all. Now let's go to third base. The third base has to be, is it according to God's will? Got to make sure that what we're praying for is not my will, but God's will. And sometimes it's not easy to discern. You have to remember that God is sovereign. In the book of Psalms, it says God's going to do whatever he pleases. So you always want to defer to his will, not my will. Sometimes I really think this is what's best for me. God may not think the same. So I have to, and would you write it down somewhere? You always got to give God veto power. Jesus did that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus, the Son of God himself, is praying, Lord, if you can remove this assignment from me about going to the cross, if you can remove this, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Often you will see the same phrase repeated throughout the scripture. So when I pray, I'm going to pray and contend like crazy. But I know down deep that if God says no, it's okay. It's all right. It has to be God's will. Let's read the scripture in 1 John 5:18 that comes up. Read it. Go. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Now, what if you don't know? Then you contend like crazy. Go for it. Go for it. But if God says, thank you, but I'm gonna enact some veto power here, it's okay. I don't know about you, but I think God knows a lot better than we do. And so we have to give him that. Say, Lord, I can't see why this happened. Sometimes people say, well, why God do things happen? Or people, I pray and pray and pray and people don't last, or they're taken home. What's going on? Well, God knows the beginning from the end, all the way into eternity. Now, let's say we see someone over here and God takes this person home right here. And we say, God, why so soon? That's wrong. That person should stay. And God says, yeah, but remember, everything I do is done in love. It's not done to you. It's done for you. And I love this person here. And I will never do things out of hatred. I always do it out of love. Because you cannot see the end from the beginning, only I can, and I can see into eternity. One day when you get to eternity, I'll play the video back for you, and you'll see that this was done out of great love. Because what you don't know is this person here continues and something goes bad over here, and that person stays in that state. That person would miss eternity. Of all of the places in his or her life that I figure is best to take him or her home is right here or right here. Because you don't see something even greater happening. And once you see that video and you see something else take place that's just bad and explosive over here, you'll rewind the tape and you say, Lord, it really was out of love that you took that person home here. I give you veto rights. Because I cannot see the end from the beginning. Only you can. And everything you do is out of love. Never out of anger or hatred. It's always out of love. And that's where we get to trust God. Because he sees. And the Lord says, now, guess what? you're going to see this one in eternity. If I answered your prayer, you would not, because I know the choices he would have made. And I'm going to find a place where he can come home and you have all of eternity with that person, not just temporality. Ah, I got it. Or the Lord takes someone home here and a loved one comes to Christ. Now, not only is this person in eternity, so are you. God sees the end from the beginning, and we can't see it, but we've got to trust God that he has all things in control. And if we don't give God veto rights, we're the ones that are in trouble, not him. So the first is prayer has to be a what? Not a panic button. The second is our hearts have to be right. And the third base is it's got to be God's will. Never compromise that. Never say it's my will or nothing, because then you're in trouble. But finally, home plate. Home plate. We got to pray in faith. Pray in faith. What's that? What's faith? The Bible says it this way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What's faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. In other words, whatever you're praying for, you have to live out. It has to be something you are already living. Lord, I pray for peace in my house. But if my husband does that again, I'm going to knock him on the head with a rolling pin. No. You have to live what you're praying for. If you're praying for honesty with your children, you've got to be honest. You have to live that. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You cannot pray one thing and live the opposite. You can't pray for peace and worry every day. You can't pray for peace and then complain about everything. If you're praying for something, you have to live consistently with your prayer. It's called praying in faith. If you don't pray in faith, then the Bible says in the book of James, faith without works is what? Is dead. So you have to be consistent in what you are praying for. Listen carefully. Even with your kids, you can teach what you know, but you will only reproduce what you are. You can teach what you know, but you will only reproduce what you are. And kids don't rebel against authority. They will rebel against inconsistent authority. And so praying in faith means, what am I praying for? I'm going to live it. I'm going to believe that it's already there. I'm praying for a good marriage. Then act like it. Yeah, but my... No. Act like it. Be happy. Yeah, but I can't be if... No. If you're praying for happiness, then be happy. Why? Well, Mark 11 tells us that. Let's read what it says. Go. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it'll be yours. Yeah, you have to live like you've already received it. If not, you'll be sabotaging your own prayer. For example, the Bible says, don't be afraid, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which means what you pray for. I want to give you whatever the kingdom has. But there are certain things that deplete that, nullify it, negate it. Like what? Like the works of the flesh. He says the deeds of the flesh, immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger. Why'd you do that? Oh God, I'm praying. My wife will get it together. Man, that makes me mad when she doesn't. No. Outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envyings and drunkenness, carousing and things like this. And then it says something interesting. And those who practice such things shall not, what? Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord says, wait a minute, you said in Luke, that is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. But if you don't go by the ground rules, you'll never get that. So if I'm praying, I've got to live as if it's already there. Pray in faith. Here's my prayer for us, that our prayers here at New Hope will be home run prayers. Can you say amen to that? Home run prayers. But there's going to be times the headwinds will be against you. And you've got to really make sure that we're praying right. I was when I lived in Hawaii, I took a plane to go to San Fran because I'm going to speak there. And it took me about 4 hours and 45 minutes. But when I went back, it was like an hour longer. It was 5 hours and 45 minutes. Same distance. Why 4:45 one way, 5:45 the next? The reason? Going this way towards the east, we had tailwinds. But going back, we had fierce headwinds. It took us longer, a little more energy, a little more jet fuel, that we got there. Listen, sometimes you're going to be in a season when there's going to be headwinds. And you need a home run prayer. Know how to pray. And when you do, God will answer. But remember this, even someone at home base will hit a home run. It's over the fence. Whoo! Done. Not yet. Even though it's over the fence, that player still has to what? He still has to touch all the bases. And God has given us the promise of home run prayers. But we still have our responsibility. Touch all the bases and watch how God is a God who is faithful to his promises. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Confidence Against the Wind by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. God bless you.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have a great day in the Lord and aloha.
To me and heard my cry.
He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire.
He set my feet on solid ground and stayed.
Hymn of praise to our God.
Oh, 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 oh.
And he will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the joys of those who trust the Lord, who have no confidence in the proud or in those who worship idols.
Oh, my God, you have performed many wonders for us. Your plans for us are too numerous to live.
to recite all your wonderful deeds. I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them. If I tried to recite all your wonderful deeds, I would never come to the end of them.